provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Channel Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins Radio on Channel Radio. Today is Monday, the 8th of April. My name is Jan Mulligan and my co-presenters today are Angela Breyer-Stevenson.
Woohoo! Hello, Jan!
Hello, and hello to Sue Parker.
Hello, Jan!
Today's topic is back pain and back care. We'll be talking to three experts in the field to find out the latest thinking and developments in terms of treatment, research and furniture design. And in fact, our studio guest today is Mike Dilk of Relax Back UK. Hello, yep. Mike.
Hi there, good afternoon.
And Mike's very kindly brought with him two back app chairs, which both Angela and Sue are sitting on, yes. Separate chairs. Both
modelling them beautifully, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Thank you. Mike is the UK distributor for the fascinating back app chair, and we'll be talking a lot more detail about that in a moment. And also the Swed-style sit-stand desks. Have I pronounced that correctly?
I normally pronounce it Swed-style.
Swed-style.
Yeah.
Okay.
I managed to pronounce most things incorrectly in Sweden, but we'll go with whatever.
And also on the show, phoning in remotely, we have Mary O'Keefe, who is a physiotherapist and is studying for a PhD at Limerick University. Mary's PhD is on chronic lower back pain, and she's been doing some research on the back app. So it'll be interesting to find out more about that then. And later on, also phoning in, we have Stephen Makinde, I hope I've pronounced that correctly. He's an osteopath and owner of the Perfect Balance Clinic, which is a multidisciplinary clinic. So we'll find out more about his practice and his views on specialist chairs such as the back app. So if you have any questions for us on back pain or anything you've heard in previous shows, please tweet us at CaresWins and we'll do our best to answer your questions during the show. Before we get going, just going to pass over to Angela now, who has some exciting news for us. Angela.
Yes, I do. Hot off the press, although those of you that were at the Faversham tweet up today, up at the Abbey restaurant, thank you very much, Hilda Marie, for the marvellous muffins. We had strategically placed on the table of resources was actually our exciting news. We are now going to be, the three of us, Jan, Sue and myself, we are going to be now the editors of the wellbeing page of Inline Magazine. Some of you out there may know of Inline Magazine. It's a magazine that covers a range of information concerning health, well-being, lifestyle, food, activities, events around the Canterbury area and beyond. And it goes out to all sorts of venues, households within the Canterbury area. And so that will be landing on people's doorsteps, doormats at the end of April. I think it goes out slightly earlier online. And the first May edition has our information in there. You'll see our lovely photograph. If you've seen the channel website, you'll see the photo. It's the same one. And we're going to be contributing to that page of all sorts of things around health, well-being and fitness. So we are really excited to have another avenue to explore the health and well-being side of things.
Excellent. So as with the show, if you've got any questions for us or any articles that you think we ought to be writing, please do let us know. Various ways of getting in touch. If you check out the Channel Radio website, channelradio.co.uk, find our presenters page for the show and all of our contact details are on there. But as I said, if you want to contact us today during the show, at CaresWins is our Twitter handle and we look forward to hearing from you. So as I said, today's show is back pain, ways to improve your comfort, ways to look at your furniture differently, but also how to prevent problems. And our studio guest is Mike Dilk of Relax Back UK. So, Mike, perhaps you can just start by telling us a little about yourself and how you came across the back app and what it is.
Certainly, yeah. Well, I'm a chartered civil engineer, but the reason I got interested in posture and how people sit and what keeps people comfortable is I've done yoga for a long time, and I developed a couple of yoga products, and I was interested in starting a business to potentially help people doing yoga. But then my business ideas changed a little bit to helping people with bad backs. A neighbour of mine at the time had a bad back, and I came to the conclusion that people with bad backs want to do everything that everyone else does. So I was looking at all sorts of different things for helping people with bad backs. So gardening with a bad back, driving with a bad back. I was looking at sex with a bad back, furniture with a bad back, all these kind of things. And I was
You've got Angela's interest now.
Yeah, a few people, it's kind of ears pricked up there, and I said, do you have a bad back? Perhaps we should chat later. I've got some things that might help. I don't know. But I thought, actually, this is a really good idea. This could be very helpful to a lot of people. And researching the products, I came across the BackApp chair. And because I had done some yoga and I had an idea how it worked, I thought, this is actually going to be a very useful thing. I'd like to include this in what I offer. So I contacted the manufacturer. One thing led to another. I had quite a few chats with them. I went to Norway. The gentleman that developed the chair is Norwegian, lives in Norway. And I ended up being the UK distributor for the chair.
Right.
So that's essentially what I concentrate on now.
And I believe there's an interesting story to how the designer came up with the chair idea.
Yeah, so why I was particularly impressed with the BackApp chair was that the designer, this gentleman called Freddie Johnson, he actually had a bad back. He wasn't a furniture producer or maker thinking, oh, how can I make some money out of these poor souls with bad backs? He actually had an awful back. And he came back from hospital after an operation, and he'd been given a wobble board mm-hmm. to do some exercises with. And he was standing on the wobble board. He thought, oh, maybe I can combine a chair with a wobble board and come up with the best of both worlds. So he did a couple of experiments. The first thing, the story goes, is he put a kitchen stool on his wobble board
right.
and promptly fell off. and then he got a bit clever and put the whole lot on a duvet, which kind of dampened the effect.
Right.
And that worked nicely, and that sort of sparked the idea for the BackApp.
Okay, yeah. So listeners, we're talking about wobble because the BackApp is designed to move. Mm. And both, as I said earlier, Angela and Sue are sitting on BackApp chairs. They're swaying in front of me as I talk to you. So perhaps you could just take us through, Mike, what the BackApp looks like and its thinking behind the way it works. Listeners, if you've got access to Facebook, check out our Facebook page, Who Cares Wins. There is a picture of the BackApp there. So if what Mike is saying to you is not making too much sense, there's a picture on there. But also,
there's pictures of us sitting
on them on Twitter. And we'll be posting Mike's website details later. So Mike, if you can describe it for us.
Yeah, I will try to describe it. So it's a bit... It's referred to as a saddle seat, really. So
yeehaw.
The seat is—it's a bit like sitting on a horse. So you do sit astride this thing.
Right.
Hey.
So, and ladies can't necessarily wear tight skirts or short skirts.
Oh. Okay.
So it doesn't work for that. You do sit like you're on a horse. That's the seat part.
Right.
And then at the bottom of the chair, there's a ball, and you can screw the ball further out. To make the chair wobble more or less, so you can actually make it move quite a lot.
Right.
And with your there's a ring at the bottom which stops the chair falling over completely.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep your feet on the ring while you're doing your work on your desk, you're typing or telephoning or whatever, you will move whether you want to or not. And before long, you won't think about moving, but you'll still be moving, which is why it's such a great idea. And the movement helps because I'm sure everybody's had that feeling of if you sit still concentrating on something for a while, then you get up, you feel like you've seized up.
Right.
You don't have to move terribly much for that not to happen. And the BackApp helps with that. And the movement will also give your core muscles a little bit of a workout. It's a very gentle workout. Maybe workout could be too strong a term. Mm-hmm. Exercise. But it's constant. So you're not going to end up with a six-pack, but the muscles you use to balance... You know, they're going to get stronger.
Right.
So, you know, if you like, the strap line is a stronger back through sitting.
So with it being a saddle, there's no back support to it.
That's right.
And is that of concern to new users?
Well, it is when people look at the chair, because it looks quite different. A lot of people say, oh, my goodness, there's no backrest on that. I can't possibly sit on that. But actually, if you can persuade people to sit on it and try it, because of the way you sit, you don't sit like you do on an ordinary chair. So that the angle between your hip and your torso is not 90 degrees. It's more. I call it an open hip angle. And it's just much easier to keep a good posture in that position. So you don't actually need the backrest. And in fact, if you're sitting in an office right now, look at your colleagues. If all the chairs have backrests, most of them probably are sitting at the front of the chair, not using the backrest at all, and kind of hunched a little bit, or lounging into their backrest.
In fact, yes.
Yes, actually, we can look through the window at our producer, who's got a backrest chair and is making no use of it whatsoever. So
very, very often you can do without a backrest and it's no problem at all.
Right. Okay. And in terms of the chair, does it come in different sizes?
It does, actually. It comes in two sizes, referred to as a high lift and a low lift.
Right.
The heights, the low lift, you actually need to be really quite short to need that one. Probably 5'1", 5'2", or less.
Mm-hmm. Is that short?
Angela's too tall to know what short is. Everybody's short to Angela.
And then the high lift is for people up to 6'6" or more. And there's a lot of crossover in the middle. So, for instance, I sit perfectly happily on both of them. Okay. I'm 6 foot tall, but then I do have quite short legs. So, I mean, you don't look at me and think, my goodness, that man's deformed, although my wife does call me low bottom.
Right.
Okay.
So there are a couple of heights, but it will cater to just about everybody.
Is this one of each then that Jan, Sue, and I have?
No, they're both high.
These are both high.
Yeah, but the one that Sue is on has wheels, so it's a little bit higher again.
And in terms of the seat itself, that stays the same between models.
Yes, the size of the seat, the size of the saddle, is standard.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any experiences from Sue and Angela having sat on it? Any questions you'd like to ask?
I actually feel really comfortable.
So
I like the fact
snooze.
it's lovely that you can move. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Sue's a professional artist.
Rotating.
Right.
So wouldn't be in front of a computer. Can you see yourself using it as a studio chair?
Yeah, I can actually, because it means I'm moving about a lot more than I probably, you know, would do if I was on a normal chair, and I don't sit I have got a backrest, but as you say, you do tend to sit forward, so this would be ideal.
What's your medium? Is it very close work you do? Or?
Well, it varies. A lot of it is close work, so it's here.
Here is about half arm's length away for those that can't see.
It's here. Not there.
It's quite close up because I've got like an easel that's up so that I'm not bending over.
Now, the reason I ask that is because there are actually some dentists that use the back up. And when I say that to people, I say, my goodness, how can they possibly do precise work in your mouth when the chair's moving all over the place? But, you know, you don't wobble out of control, and dentists can, you know, do your fillings perfectly well. And I'm quite sure, you know, you'd be able to do your close artistic work as well.
Excellent.
Okay. And you were mentioning that you'd used a kneeling chair before.
I have used a kneeling chair, and unfortunately, because there's no movement like this one, my back just went straight into spasm, and unfortunately had a lot of pain.
Because we were talking before the show, and when I said it didn't have a back support, Sue was concerned that her previous experiences, she might have the same thing with the back app.
It feels good.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that the back app is a silver bullet that will solve everyone's problems.
Sure.
It does help an awful lot of people.
Okay. We're going to take a bit of music in a moment. And after the music track, we'll be talking to Mary O'Keefe, who, as I said, is a physiotherapist, but is also doing a PhD into lower back pain. And she's been looking at the back app, so we'll be interesting to find out some of the research side of things about the chair itself. And we'll take some music now. We'll be back in a moment.
Inside of the day.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. Clever listeners amongst you will have noticed that that last song was Sit Down, because we have chairs in the studio today. Angela's only just got that joke, but never mind.
Just woken up.
So, we have on the line from Limerick in Ireland, Mary O'Keefe. Mary is a physiotherapist and is doing a PhD into lower back pain. Hello, Mary.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
The show.
Thank you for coming on. Just one thing I wanted to check with you. Wasn't too sure beforehand. Are you a physiotherapist and based at Limerick University, or are you a physiotherapist and you are studying at Limerick University?
I'm a physiotherapist, so I qualified last year from the University of Limerick.
Uh-huh.
So I see patients in my own time, but I'm also still in the university doing further study. So I do a research role in the University of Limerick, but I also see patients outside of the university.
Excellent. So you've got both areas covered by the
work
and the research.
Yeah, so both clinical and research, but they're fairly interlinked, so it's good.
Okay, so maybe I can ask you just to tell our listeners a little bit about what is physiotherapy.
Okay, so physiotherapy, so what we do is we try and help people that have problems with pain and disability, so whether it be low back pain, neck pain, leg pain, arm pain, the main thing is to get people back to their usual level of functioning, and that pain and other problems aren't inhibiting their lives and their activities of daily living. So if a problem, if a person was having back pain and, let's say, problems sitting or bending, our main aim is to help them to get back to the way they used to sit and bend before in a way that it doesn't affect their daily life and that they're not having much pain. So it's all about rehabilitation and focusing on the patients. Level of disability and function is the main thing.
Okay, and do you specialise in any particular area of treatment or medical condition, or are you a generalist at the moment?
My particular area of interest would be chronic low back pain.
Right.
So that's what my PhD is in. So I'm in the first year of my PhD at the moment, so we're just in the early stages, but my emphasis, my area would be chronic back pain, chronic low back pain.
Okay, and do you have a very grandiose title for your PhD, or is that a still work in progress?
It's still a work in progress, yeah.
Okay. And so what sort of things are you looking at in your PhD?
So in my PhD, we're looking at it's a new novel approach to chronic back pain. It's called cognitive functional therapy.
Okay.
So we found, I suppose, from the research and the evidence, we found that lots of physical interventions and interventions on their own to treat back pain, that they're all equally effective. So we're trying to coin a treatment, so cognitive functional therapy, it tries to encompass loads of parts to the treatment. So we try and focus on the physical elements to a person's pain. So whether it be a problem with a person's back or movement or the way they sit or the way they move, but we also focus on other things like, so lifestyle factors, so things if a person smokes, if a person's having sleep problems, obesity, lack of exercise, stress. We try and also help the patient control these because they also have a significant effect on a person's pain.
Okay.
And then others, other factors like psychosocial factors would be big also in back pain that people wouldn't realize until recent times. So things like anxiety and depression and particularly people's beliefs and coping around pain. So I think there's a lot of negative beliefs out there about back pain and what's causing it.
Yeah.
And it makes people very fearful, and let's say there's a lot of people off work and a lot of people avoiding things that they used to do because of fear of moving. So changing beliefs is a big thing we do as well, and the PhD is looking at that. So we're trying to compare a treatment that addresses multidimensional factors, so multiple factors, to a treatment like an exercise class that would be more, I suppose, singular in its treatment. So we're trying to see is, when you target multiple factors, is it more effective than just looking at the physical elements?
Okay. And the participants in your study, are they self-referring or are you searching for people to participate?
So at the moment we're still trying to get ethics, but we're trying to use, so in Ireland we're trying to use about 4 different hospitals in Ireland. So there's patients coming into the hospitals already with chronic back pain. So we're getting, I'll be blind with assessors to the study, and we'll be getting specialised physiotherapists within the musculoskeletal departments of the hospitals to treat the patients coming through. So the patients will always be coming through for me.
Right.
So we'll be getting them triaged at the start into low-risk patients, medium-risk and high-risk, and then dividing them into the treatment, like cognitive functional therapy, uh-huh. and then into another comparison treatment. So over maybe a year, just to see what's more effective in the long term.
Right. I understand as part of the study, you've been involved in the BACAP chair.
Yep, that's
right.
Could
you give us a bit of information about how you've been involved in that and what it's been used for in the study?
Okay, so in recent times, we've conducted a few studies in UL looking at the BACAP chair. So what we found is sitting is a main, it's one of the main things reported for aggravating a person's low back pain. So it's huge. People often say, oh, I get back pain when sitting. So that's why it's important to look at different seating options with the hope that they can help with the back pain. So what we've found so far, we've conducted 3 studies in UL, and what we've found so far is that using the BACAP chair, it has made it easier for people to sit in an upright posture. And it has reduced the muscular effort required to sit in an upright posture,
right.
which is potentially very important because when you ask a person to sit upright, they often find it very tiring and very painful.
Sure.
So the BACAP reduces the muscular activation and effort required to sit this way. So this can be seen as very important. And also we've looked at the BACAP chair in people with back pain. So for example, last year we took people who reported pain while sitting. And when sitting on the BACAP, their pain was reduced when they sat on a normal standard office chair. So these were people. So at the moment, what we can say is that the BACAP chair, among people who get pain when sitting, it reduces their pain while sitting.
Okay.
So it's potentially very important as one part of their back pain management.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So,
and in terms of if people want to find out a bit more about your study or even indeed about your practice, is there a website or an email address people can contact you?
Yeah, I have an email address. So my email is mary.o'keefe@ul.ie.
Okay, and can you say that one more time for us, a little bit
so,
slower?
So mary.o'keefe, so that's OKEEFFE@ul.ie.
Excellent.
So that's my email address.
Thank you very much. So we'll be posting that on our Facebook page. So you
and I can email on my studies as well and put them on the website.
That would
so
be
So I
excellent.
Have access to all them studies,
That would be a very interesting. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to get into that.
And any other information, I can send it on as well if anyone has any queries or questions about back pain.
Yeah, so the thing that is probably worth just commenting on from what Mary's just said, talking to people with back pain, what I often hear is, oh, you know what, if I get relief when I stand up. And that when people say that, often that the back-up chair may work for them. Mm-hmm. Because the back-up chair, I sometimes describe it as close as you can get to standing while you're in fact still sitting.
Right.
So in that that circumstance, it can help people, I think.
Mary, hi, it's Angela here.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, thanks for coming on here. And one question I had, listening to your studies, I'm interested in, and something Mike just said there, was that is this right that I've heard, actually, laying flat on your back is not really a good cure for back pain, is it? We're supposed to stand up, we're supposed to move?
Oh, definitely. Like, the more movement, the better. And the back up is also associated with that. So we found in our studies that it allows more movement than sitting. So that's also seen as a good advantage to the back up chair. But, movement is always better than sitting still for long periods. But that's the advantage of the back up, since it puts you in a more upright posture. People that are aggravated by sitting and driving and activities like that, that they require more, like, to be upright. Since the back up puts you into that position, it kind of has the advantages of walking and standing. Not that it should replace walking, but it's a good asset, I suppose, when you're sitting, that you can sit a bit straighter. For those people that often aggravate, that their pain is made worse than sitting. So there is a lot of people out there reporting that.
Absolutely, and I'm also just leaning over in my chair, which is great. I'm just now leaning on Sue. My idea, Mike, is that we need one now that we can put in a car or a motorbike.
Well,
Mike's looking a bit perplexed at that idea.
Well, it's not so balmy, actually, because at the back pain show, I spoke to a gentleman who had a cushion which moved. It wasn't a massage cushion, per se, but it moved slowly, and the idea behind that was to keep you alert, particularly while you're driving. Now, I'm not sure a car with something like that in the front seat would pass the MOT, but this whole idea of movement helping to keep you more alert, I think really helps. And in fact, at one stage, I did try and talk to people about helping children that have dyslexia, whether a chair like this and the movement might help, because I know there are some dyslexia programs that actually use wobble boards and promote movement.
Yeah, very much so.
Although, yeah, I know there are lots of different ideas and thoughts about that, what really helps. But yeah, it would be interesting to look at that, whether a chair like this could help children that are suffering from concentration problems or dyslexia.
I've come across it with people with ADHD in the classroom. Right. If they can keep them occupied, if they can keep them moving, then their concentration improves. So a chair like this may well be.
Well, perhaps.
Another
perhaps
market for you there,
yeah,
Mike.
Perhaps that's. Well, I suppose you could say another market, or actually some more people that chair might help.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Mary.
And no problem. So thanks for having me.
We'll post your information on the Facebook page, and thank you again for your time.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Mary.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so we're going to take another piece of music now before talking to our next guest, Stephen McInade, who's an osteopath. Next piece of music, actually been chosen by Mike. It's A Lovely Day by Bill Withers. Has nice memories for Mike, and here it comes. Hello and welcome back to Who Cares Wins Radio. It's Monday, it's the 8th of April, and we're talking all things back care and back pain. And we have on the line Stephen McInade, who's an osteopath. I'm sorry, I've pronounced your name wrong there, Stephen. Stephen McInade, is that McInade, correct? Okay. And I understand you're an osteopath and the owner of Perfect Balance Clinic, a multidisciplinary clinic based in Hatfield, Hertfordshire.
That's correct.
Okay. Maybe I could ask you to just start. We've had a physiotherapist on this afternoon, and you're an osteopath. So I wonder if you could just give our listeners a little bit of information about what an osteopath does.
An osteopath is someone that looks at the body in a very holistic way and tries to make sense of the biomechanics of an injury. So if someone were to roll on over on their ankle years ago and maybe to present with a knee problem, the osteopath would take into consideration how the ankle problem initially might be affecting the knee in terms of how someone's walking, or if it went on for long enough, they might have back problems associated with that as well, or those kind of biomechanical problems, yeah.
Okay, and you're a multidisciplinary clinic, so that means you do other treatments as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps you could give us a rundown of the sort of treatments that you do and whether they are isolated or whether they complement each other.
Yeah, sure. Perfect Balance is a multidisciplinary setup, so we have six clinics across Hertfordshire and London, which house different professions within the clinic. So the idea of Perfect Balance is to be able to find a specialist that's the one person that can help you, but to have the complementary elements of what we do. So I would sometimes refer to a physiotherapist to help me with exercises on a particular patient, or I might send them to see a rehab person to deal with a particular injury, or the podiatrist if it was a foot that was causing a problem. So we don't claim to be good at experts at everything. We claim to be experts at one thing. We have lots of experts that are experts at one thing, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Okay. So obviously our topic today is back pain.
Yeah.
And do you find that there are common causes of back pain, or is it just a wide variety of triggers and symptoms?
No, absolutely. There's lots of different causes of back pain, some more serious than others. I think we're discussing mainly the occupational-related back pain today with the seated posture, and there's obviously other causes of back pain like picking things up, or sometimes coughing or sneezing may give people back problems as well. But posture and sitting tend to be the major causes that we see on a day-to-day basis in clinic.
Right. And as you said, we're obviously talking about predominantly either workplace or professions where people want to be seated, and therefore we're talking at the back at chair.
Yeah.
But in terms of the population as a whole, is there a sort of key age for back pain?
Back pain tends to affect everyone. As soon as they can walk on two legs, unfortunately, they're going to suffer from some element of back pain because of the mechanical constraints of being able to stand on two legs. So their back muscles will start to work and develop according to the amount of stress that's placed on the back. Obviously, children might not complain of back pain, but it's not to say that they can't suffer from back pain at all.
Right.
They just probably won't be aware of it so much. The elderly tend not to get so much back pain because they're not as active, but they can still suffer from back pain. So the main age group of back pain sufferers tends to be kind of late teens to early 40s would be the major instance of back pain, certainly that we see on a day-to-day basis in clinic.
Right. And when you're looking at the treatment plan, do you consider seating for everybody, or is there a certain trigger that you think you're talking to somebody and think, this is the chair
Absolutely.
That we need to be concentrating on?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It would be quite easy to consider seating for everybody, but we have a limited amount of time with the people that present to us, and obviously we want to get the most significant things that are going to make the most impact to that person in the treatment time that we have, and also in terms of giving them advice. We can give them advice on how they should stand, how they should sneeze, how they should sleep, how they should eat their food, but there may not be significant to that particular patient's presentation.
Right.
So if seating is a big part of it, especially for office workers or people that have occupations related to seating, like long-distance lorry drivers, for example.
Right. So I don't know if you were listening in earlier. Angela was actually mentioning the fact that she thought the back app in a car... might be suitable.
Would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Might be a bit dangerous, though.
So we need to do a separate study on that, on the safety of the back app in cars.
Fantastic idea. I think, I'm not sure if I can mention the name of the car company, but there is a car company that actually have a seat that moves as you go around the corner to limit the amount of what we call torque on the back.
Right.
Which is how much functional load there is on the back when you go around the corner in the car.
Okay. Please do mention the car company.
Yeah.
I can?
Yes, please do.
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's a Mercedes.
Mercedes. Oh. Ah, so need a few pennies to be able to get that solution.
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. So let's bring us back to a slightly cheaper option, which is the back app. How did you get involved in the back app? What's your interest in it, and when would you think about recommending it?
The interest in the back app was really out of pure jealousy, really. It's one of those ideas that I thought, oh, I wish I'd thought of that sooner. It's a fantastic idea and a fantastic product, and we've been involved with it very early on with Mike Dilk at back app.
Right.
And I firmly believe in the idea that one of the reasons why people get back pain is because they're stuck in the same position for a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And through being stuck in this position, they're overworking certain tissues in their body, like their discs or their lumbar erector spinae muscles, which help hold their spine up straight. And this can cause an increased load. So inevitably, because they're loading the tissues so much in their back, they're going to cause damage and wear and tear in there. So keeping the back moving means that you alternate between the types of structures, so muscles or ligaments or joints that you're putting stress on. So
mm-hmm.
you're not loading any one particular structure in the back for an extended period of time.
Right. And in terms of the back app, do you find when you're showing it, do you hold chairs in your practices so that people can try them out while they're with you?
Absolutely. I've encouraged the reception team to put it into the reception waiting area, and they've found that a lot of people will naturally gravitate towards the back app as a more comfortable option for sitting.
Okay.
People find it a little bit uncomfortable to start with because it is moving and it goes against what we normally would associate with our bodies would associate with a sitting position. So normally you sit in a chair that's quite static on four legs or whatever base you might be on, but it's very supportive and stationary. So I think once you've got your head around this idea that you have to use your core stabilizing muscles and your pelvic floor muscles and your kind of trunk stabilizing muscles to be able to sit on the chair, it can be a very comfortable experience, and a lot of people find it very comfortable.
Okay.
We do actually have them in each of the clinics for the practitioners to sit on whilst they're consulting their patients.
And is there any occasion where you feel the back app would not be the appropriate solution?
Yeah, I think there are definitely circumstances where I think that it wouldn't be an appropriate solution, mainly because there's not been a clear diagnosis as to what's causing the problem with
right.
the patient. And people shouldn't be going out and buying these back app chairs without having an initial assessment or consultation first to identify the cause of their back pain when they're sitting
mm-hmm.
and subsequently make sure it's the right solution for their problem.
So it's one of my adages of try before you buy. Make sure you've had a good go on it and that it's working for you in line with an assessment and a diagnosis.
Absolutely, but I think the diagnosis as to what's causing the back pain first. You shouldn't just go out to a salesperson and let them decide what's causing the back pain. You need to really identify and go through a consultation process to be able to find out what's causing the back pain first.
Excellent. So you said that you've got practices based in Hatfield and in London. We're based in Kent today. Are you moving south or have you expanded as far as you're going?
I would love to. We're practicing in London in Harley Street, St Paul's and Moorgate.
Right.
And we do get a lot of people travelling out from the outside of London, commuting in, who obviously work in the city. But we also have got a couple of patients at the moment that are travelling up from Kent to see me in particular at the clinic.
Okay.
So
excellent. So
on another planet.
So if we could just ask if any of our listeners wanted to get in touch with you or any of your colleagues, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do it is probably to contact the reception directly. They can email the reception at reception@perfectbalanceclinic.com.
And if you could say that one more time for us, please.
It's reception@perfectbalanceclinic.com.
Excellent.
And the telephone number is 0800 0724 012.
And one more time?
0800 0724 012.
That's it. Angela's scribbling as you're saying that, you see, so we just need to make sure it's the speed of writing speed. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Stephen.
That's my
pleasure. It's fascinating
Thanks
to speak
to you.
And we will publicise your details on the Facebook page and hopefully people will be in touch.
Lovely, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
Okay, any questions coming from that, folks?
Just one thought. One thing that I'm very keen to get across to people is that you can try out a back app before you buy it. So sort of in line with some of what Stephen was saying, I'm very keen for people to sit on the back app for a little more than 10 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, give it a good go in your workplace, so you can see if it works for you. You know, try it for a few days, and I'm very keen for that to happen, and the dealers that I work with are generally pretty receptive to that.
Excellent. And we'll be giving out Mike's details later on the show so that you can get in contact with him, and he will put you in touch with a dealer near you. Going to take one more music track now before we have our traditional events roundup and inspirational thought for the week. So here's our next track.
We're going to sing.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
To Who Cares Wins radio show. Our studio guest today is Mike Dilk from Relaxback UK. So Mike, we've heard from there a physiotherapist, a researcher and an osteopath. Yourself, you're the distributor, and you mentioned just before the break that you have a network of resellers.
Are they
across the UK?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they do tend to be slightly more in the southeast, but there are some further north. There's one in Scotland, and they're essentially pretty much wherever you are in the UK, if you think a back app might be useful to you, we'll be able to help you. We'll be able to get to you one way or another.
Okay, so here's the $64 million question. What's the cost of a back app?
Oh, right. So the back app, one like we have in the office here, so that's a basic one.
Quite is basic.
Yes.
Angela's on the basic, folks. She's not happy.
It's £541 plus VAT.
Right.
There's another version with a different sort of fabric, which is slightly cheaper, for £506 plus VAT.
I like it.
So that may sound expensive, and you know, it's not £50, but I would say on an office ergonomic chair you can spend thousands.
Yeah.
You know, this is not thousands, it is hundreds. Yeah. And actually that's part of the reason why I'm keen for people to try it out before they buy it, because it is a significant investment. I'd say, you know, it's an investment in your health, so it's worth making. But
can I ask a question, please, miss?
Please do.
Thank you. I've been good today, haven't I?
Yeah, I've been very good girl.
I noticed that obviously I'm sitting here and I've got trousers on, so it's quite easy for me to sit on a saddle. Are there plans, or would there be, is there a reason why it has to be that design, or could you make it that that isn't there, which is the hump in the middle, and so I could sit in skirts, dresses?
I guess there are two answers to that. The first thing is there aren't any plans to change the shape of the seat. The backup is constantly been revised and made better here and there, but as far as the shape of the seat, there aren't any plans at the moment to change it. The shape of the seat is very much akin to the where you sit and the actual posture you take up, which helps you, makes it easier to sit in a good posture. So as far as making it easier for you to sit in the chair with a short skirt or a tight skirt, no, there are no plans for that. So you can't...
That might be quite good for offices then, because everyone had to wear proper length
dress
skirts.
Code will come back in.
Yeah.
Possibly, but yeah, you can't sit on the back app sort of how your mother told you should sit.
Oh, no crossed legs, which is quite useful, because we're not supposed to cross our legs, are we?
No, that's not good for the back either.
Cool.
Okay, so thank you very much for coming in today, Mike. Just before you go, a couple of bits of information from you and for our listeners about you. Firstly, if somebody's interested in the back app, who has the best point of contact?
I think in the first instance, if they look at the website, which would be relaxbackuk.com.
And one more time.
Relaxbackuk.com.
Thank you.
On there, there's a list of dealers. There's my email, my telephone number. Do get in contact with me. If you are just wondering if the back app might be something for you to try, you know, we can have a chat about that, because it just might not work in your particular working setup or for whatever reason. So that would be worth possibly chatting about. So yeah, do have a look at the website. On the website there's all sorts of information. There are videos on how to use it. There are videos of testimonials from people that have used it, all kinds of stuff. So it's worth just having a root around on the website.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And I understand you've got some involvement in the back care charity and that you're running the marathon for them.
That's right, yes. So the back care charity is a small charity, but it does help a lot of people because, well, essentially everybody knows someone who has backache, I think, really, anecdotally. They either have it themselves or they know someone who has backache. So this charity does help a lot of people. I'm a corporate sponsor of the charity anyway, and they happen to be very persuasive. And I went to go and see them a little while ago, and they said, well, look, some of us are running the marathon. You really ought to as well. being weak-willed, I said, yeah, okay, I'll think about it. And then my wife kind of bullied me into doing it. So yes, I am running the marathon.
Have you run a marathon before?
No, I haven't. No, oh. I've done a couple of half marathons, but that was in my mid 20s, and so that was over 20 years ago. So it's going to be quite. You tell me, I've worn well. That's very
well.
Kind of you. Thank you. I'm not so sure about that. But I've really enjoyed it, actually. I've really enjoyed the training, although I have had a bit of a setback recently and I've had some real trouble with my knees. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to see a chiropractor recently who has helped me a lot. He's been manipulating my back to help my knees, and it's been working big time. So he's very confident that I will be in a fit state to run the marathon in a couple of weeks' time.
Excellent. So if somebody would like to donate to back care and your marathon run, how would they do that?
Right, I think probably the easiest way to do that is, again, to go to the website relaxbackuk.com, and there's a link there will take them to the official giving page of the London Marathon, which is Virgin Giving or something, isn't it,
okay.
I think. But there's a link there, and it'll take them straight to it.
Thank you very much, Mike. Okay, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Can I hand it over to Angela, who's going to tell us about some more events, either locally or nationally?
Yes, I am. Following on, just to remind listeners that we do have Jane... I've forgotten her name. It's gone
Dunsby.
Completely. Thank you. Jane Dunsby. It's because I'm looking at this bit of paper. See, I'm off. For Pilgrim's Hospice. So we have quite a few people that we now know who are running the marathon. And so we'll be watching, cheering you on, Mike, with a glass or
thank
two,
you.
Probably, in our hands. And we're watching Obbly Knees as you go on telly. And we also have, hot off the press, we have a little competition. So are you listening, listeners? Are you ready? We have been talking today about something. You need to email us what it was that we were talking about. What was the actual product? Is that okay, Jan, if I say product?
Name of the product.
Name of the product. It needs to be precise. You need to get it right. And you can win, drum roll please. Thank you. We have two tickets that have been given to us from Domination Paintball, which is here in Hagelands. And this will entitle you to a game on the Domination Paintball Friends and Family Day. So you can bring one guest with you. So we've got two tickets. And you are able to come along. And it's got here, the invite is for the 1 p.m. game. So you need to confirm your attendance once you know that you're the winner, of course. So you need to email us first. And then once we announce the winner, we'll let you know. But it's Friday the 12th of April, so make sure you're available on that day. And if you can get the name correctly, email us on... Another drum roll, please. Is whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. So email us your answer, whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. And the first person to get it right will be notified and given these tickets. Maybe we can do some honorary presentation. Maybe I should sit on this chair while I give them their tickets. A couple of other events we wanted to mention is we talked about mindfulness. We've had Louise Cox-Chester on here talking about Mindfulness UK Limited. And I'm actually going myself to this. And so if listeners want to experience mindfulness and learn a little bit more about it, and perhaps you're London-based, then Ed Halliwell, who is the writer, author of The Mindful Manifesto, he is doing a workshop on the 27th of April, and that's 10:30 till 5:30. It's up in London, and the best place to go and find the information is either on edhalliwell.com or themindfulnessmanifesto.com, and you'll find there there's links to Alternatives, which is the organisation that runs various events, and he's doing his talk there. We also have, very heavily involved with us in the sense of the topic, is the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival, which is up in Earl's Court in London in May. So you've got some time yet to book. I'm going up. I think, Sue, you may be coming up.
I am.
And I know that Jane Dunsby, I remember her name now, Jane's going up there because her laughter teacher, facilitation skills, laughter skills, is going to be there running a shake. So we're going to be shaking our Buddha, apparently. Sounds painful. So we'll give you more details on that. And again, if there are events out there in Kent or beyond that you'd like us to publicise, put on our Facebook page, that are involved in health and well-being or fitness and activity, then do let us know. Email us at whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk.
Okay, and now we have, before rounding up, we have our inspirational insight for the week from Sue.
Hi. Yes, it's this one's from John Lennon. There's nowhere you can be that isn't where you're meant to be.
Thank you very much, Sue. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. As always, the Listen Again facility will be available either through channelradio.co.uk or through the Greenleaf website, which will be posted on Facebook. If you have any questions for Mike, for Mary, or for Stephen, then let us know and we'll do our best to pass those on to us.
And for us.
And for us, yes. Angela said she's willing to answer any question on any topic. She's ready for you. But tune in next week and we'll have another fascinating show for you. Thank you very much, folks. Bye for now.
Bye.
Channel Radio.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. with great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.